This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Play action. Prescott steps into it. Cooper off his hands and into the arms of Jair Alexander. Alexander on a big return for the Green Bay Packers into Dallas territory, and what a big play by this defense.
The call on Fox yesterday, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, 34-24, the final. I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman, talking about it all day long with you guys here on The Fan, right up until 6 o'clock. Gonna switch things up a little bit. The Brewers retrospective on the air today with Billy Schmid, Tim Allen, taking you back at the year that was, which ended very abruptly, but they had championship hopes. The Packers can start thinking of that perhaps after a nice, impressive victory on the road in Dallas. Our Mike Clemens joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline down in Dallas after covering the action. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Clem.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
We're good.
I thought that the momentum shifted immediately in this game when Jair Alexander's got his hands there and he's chasing Amari Cooper, and the ball bounces off Amari's hands like you hear on that play. And after the game, I asked Matt LaFleur, though, because looking at the numbers of the game, it's Aaron Jones who, you know, not only has 19 carries and over like 107 yards on the ground, but they're throwing to him seven times. And so to me, I just wondered if they said, all right, you know, who's the, if we don't have Davante Adams and you need a sure thing, you know, who's our ball carrier? Who's our guy that we want to put the ball in the hands of? And so I asked Matt LaFleur if, you know, if Aaron Jones was that guy.
Yeah, I know. We always try to put together the best plan as possible. And Aaron tonight, he definitely came up big. I mean, to be able to break, he broke a lot of tackles out there and he finished runs. And we knew going into this game that we had to be physical. And it starts up front. But I was really proud of our guys. The whole, both offensively, defensively, and on special teams, you know, we had some adversity, fought through a lot of injuries, had guys going in and out of the lineup, and against a really quality football team. I mean, they're a really good team, and it's always tough to go on the road in this league, and especially in this building, and pick up a win. But you know, it was just a great team win.
Clemens, I feel like we've been down this road with Aaron Jones before. We've got teased where we had a performance like this, and then, you know, the next week it's like 20 yards in 10 carries. Is this something that was just a one-time deal? Are we going to try to see more them feeding Aaron Jones in space like that, or what?
I think, Chuck, what made the difference, and particularly the runs, was they went inside zone instead of outside zone.
Little Mike McCarthy and, you know, there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And to go up against those guys like Jalen Smith and Vander Esch, those guys are, they're outstanding linebackers, but because of some of the stunts you saw the Cowboys line running, let's just run it right up, you know, between the A-gap. And you know what? Elton Jenkins had a pretty damn good game. I mean, he moves people around. He's just a left guard. And so they took advantage of that to get some things going. The other thing I thought that was interesting was this. Even though Aaron Rodgers had like a quarterback rating around 83 or so, he looked to me like the Aaron Rodgers of old. When you see him under pressure and almost going down, and this almost like reminded me of, you know, 2009-2010 Aaron Rodgers. He's incredible Houdini moves he makes. Pockets collapse, and he's going to go down. Shovel pass to Trey Carson, the backup running back, or about to go down, and he flicks the ball at the last second and is able to nail the tight end, Robert Tonyan. And I asked Rodgers about that after the game.
Do you have a sense that they are better at the scramble, that you have confidence in them, or does this offensive scheme help in those instances?
I think it's, you know, I was thinking coming in the game that just based on their athleticism and their ability to cover folks, there's going to be a couple off-schedule plays I just needed to make. One of them was on the screen pass, you know, just kind of moving and throwing. When I threw a left-handed one to Trey, and then obviously Bobby had a nice play on the adjustment. We've done that for a long time around here. It's just, you know, with a really good front, with the crowd noise, and with, you know, them dropping seven and locking on the guys, you're going to have some off-schedule plays.
All right, that was a pretty good normal football Q&A in the Aaron Rodgers press conference. There was another question and answer portion of that we wanted to ask you about.
Champ, what was the key to distributing your Packer City Lightning to all your button men, like all-decade torpedo Laverne Delweg?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Packers 1920s stalwart, Laverne Delweg, NFL all-decade tight end.
Who was it?
How'd you do it, champ?
I don't know what you're talking about. That's a good question, though. What the...
Mike, when I first heard the voice, there was a 5% of me thought it was you.
Yeah, right. On my last day here. when this guy, he's sitting in the front row, and I'm looking at him, and I didn't know if he looked like Asian to me or something. I'm thinking, is this some international guy, you know, that doesn't speak very good English? And then he says, I keep on hearing him saying, hey, champ. Yeah, hey, champ. So he's trying to sound like a 1920s writer. He's this knucklehead that worked for one of the sports stations here in Dallas, and apparently he does this to, you know, like famous sports figures all the time. He's done it to Jack Nicklaus and all that, and it's a bit they play back, you know, on their show, you know, kind of like Howard Stern used to do. So it was actually...
Yeah, but those exchanges were funny.
Well, yeah, the only difference is those were funny. I mean, these were just kind of, you know, weird. Like, who are you, man? And I mean, I guess the guy... He uses language that a 1920, he called Lawrence Dillwig. Now, that's like the father or grandfather. Was that Anthony Dillwig?
Yeah.
Was that quarterback late 80s or so?
And he was like very good if you do research on him.
Ooh, Anthony Dillwig?
No, his grandpa.
Lawrence. Oh, Laverne was good. Laverne. Anthony wasn't
Laverne
very
Dillwig,
good.
Yeah. Well, he was a torpedo. Yeah, you know, 1920. So that was.
I think you should adopt the routine, Mike.
Yeah, no. I asked the Packers. I said, "Who is that guy? I mean, how did he get in?" And the Packers were happy that they got the win. So they was like, "Well, you know, whatever. This kind of stuff happens from time to time. You know, whatever. It's the Cowboys that gave the guy the credential." It ended up just being some guy trying to have a little fun, a little shtick. Kind of a lame bit in the middle of the press conference. That was about it.
Yeah, I was just curious what the Packers thought about this. Now, if this would have been somebody who did this in Green Bay, Clem, would there have been, how would that have been handled?
That's a good question. Because you know something? There was a time when Favre lost that game, his last game at Lambeau as a Viking,
mm-hmm.
and there was a guy that came in that wasn't not a regular a sports guy, but some radio bit guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something to Favre about, so, you know, tell us what you really think now about this, about having to lose here to your old team at Lambeau Field. And don't lie now. Tell the truth. And Favre was, like, shocked. It was at the visitor's podium.
Yeah.
Favre said, don't lie? Excuse me? I've got that somewhere in the hard drive, but... Yeah, so there was that awkward moment like that, and then, you know, Favre gave the guy an answer. But I never saw that guy again. Cover the gate.
Mike Clemens here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, joining us here on The Fan. We'll chat with him also a little later in the week as well. Mike Clemens' reports are brought to you by Pottawatomie. It's all happening at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com. Plan your visit now to the Midwest premier entertainment destination, paysbig.com. Also awkward, whatever was going on between Jason Garrett and that official, where they had a flag off at one point, where Garrett spiked it, and then the guy threw it. The guy tried to throw it to you, I think, up in the press box, Mike.
Yeah. So there was one of the assistant refs that got into it with Garrett, and Garrett was just, he couldn't believe the chain of events and why he threw that, you know, that had to throw a second challenge flag because he knew they'd gotten it wrong. And so Garrett was asked about, you know, that situation. What ended up being is the head ref did talk to a pool reporter who said the coach was charged with abusive language to an official. which is mean maybe he threatened them or something like that. You could see how angry that he got. Here's what Garrett said about the situation.
Again, it was just a big play in the game. I knew we had used the flag once, and I knew we were going to have to use it again to correct their error. And when you do that, and the first one doesn't get overturned, you're out of challenges. And so I knew that was the situation. But we had to use it in that particular situation to correct the mistake that they made. And, you know, so didn't handle it well. Our team handled it really well, though. I don't know if you saw the rest of the game after that. We completed a 26-yarder on the next play and went right down and scored. So our team did a really good job handling that adversity.
All right.
So
you
got to give it up to the Cowboys in their effort to try and come back. You know, they did just start slinging the ball around and running the two-minute offense, and they made it interesting. Jerry Jones apparently told a newspaper reporter, "Well, I hope we didn't hurt her feelings." Now, I don't know if he was talking about Sarah, the referee, or the guy who that Jason Garrett actually insulted, and they gave him that, you know, abusive language to an official charge. But that's the way that played out. And then you know, Zeke Elliott, I mean, just amazing. You held this guy to, what, it's like 67 yards or something, that rushing. And he was asked, you know, did the refs add to your loss today?
I mean, I'm never going to be the guy to go out there and be like, hey, we lost because of the refs. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to look in the mirror as a team and realize that we shot ourselves in the foot too many times. It wasn't the refs. I mean, they weren't perfect. I mean, they weren't great. But, I mean, we got to look in the mirror and see that there was a lot of things that we could have done to win that ball game, not just look to blame the refs.
The Packers went in there and handily defeated Dallas, controlled the game, I thought, for the most part all day. And so that's going to lead us to the next question, which we've been discussing here. Are the Packers the team to beat in the NFC right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know, Chuck, didn't you think the Eagles really put on a physical beat down on the Packers? I mean, at the end of the day, if you can beat people that way. And you know what? The Packers have got a lot of problems still on third down. They should have been – They could have put even more away. There was missed opportunities there after some of those turnovers and things they did. I think, though, now that you got some injuries, you got Darnell Savage Jr. with some kind of a knee or ankle injury, and he couldn't return to the game. Corey Linsley at center, he had a concussion. Good news is you don't play till next week, Monday night, against the Lions. So it's time for those guys to recoup. And Kevin King, played through injury. That's the one thing about your defense, though. Even though these guys are going down with injury, how many times did Za'Darius Smith leave the field and come back on? Like three times during that game. So I thought that was pretty impressive. Guys are out there playing hurt, and they're playing for each other, and that seems to be the theme so far of this team, and that makes them a dangerous team for sure.
Mike, travel back well. We've enjoyed the coverage both on air and our social media channels, 105.7 FM The Fan. How is Radio Joe doing with you?
Right now he's out getting Starbucks coffee, and then after that he can go for his walk and that kind of thing.
He was very excited that he had a beer in the press box last night.
Yeah, well, that is kind of fun. You know, that is kind of a throwback. I mean, that, you know, that used to happen covering Brewer games at County Stadium, where guys would hang around and have a beer or so afterwards. But yeah, that's still a little tradition that they got to get a couple tappers post game. So, yeah, we had a couple of beers in the press box. So that was a nice way to leave the Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah. Joe got his In-N-Out burger, and you guys had like a Texas barbecue down there and everything.
Yeah, the barbecue was outstanding. I mean, I'll tell you, one thing's for sure, Chuck. You've been down here a number of times, but, I start thinking, if I was down here for 3 or 4 months, I might weigh 300 pounds. My God, food's outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding.
Not to mention the great Mexican food down there. Clem, thanks as always, my friend.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Mike Clemens joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He'll come back again on Thursday at 9:30, a little later this week. Again, Great Midwest Bank, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Yeah, how about that? You look at what the Packers did to Ezekiel Elliott. I was not sure the Packers could do that. I thought they'd win the game, but I was a little surprised. And a lot of that, too, is the Packers getting up early in this game and forcing the Cowboys to make plays through the air. Now, had that been a tight game all the way, Elliott maybe has more touches, maybe more of a factor in the game. But the Packers getting up early 17-0. That forces, and especially in the second half, the Cowboys into pass mode and throw out their game plan a little bit.
Yeah, and if you were to tell me one of the running backs would have 107 yards and four touchdowns, I mean, yeah. Ezekiel Elliott was a popular daily fantasy football play yesterday going against the Packers' run defense that has not been good this season. Still gave up 122 yards, a lot of that on scrambles, too, from Dak. But that was quite the performance all the way around. Unlike what they used to do in the 90s when they went down there and couldn't pull off those victories. We'll talk to somebody from those teams. Leroy Butler joins us as he does after every Packer game. He will come up next. Chuck and Winkler at The Fan. And still some time for you guys at 105.7 FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. We'll ask Leroy the question we've been asking all morning. Is this team the best in the NFC? And his thoughts on the games coming up next. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.